Greetings in the name of the Lord. For a number of weeks, we've been thinking together concerning the Epistle of Paul to the Romans. I have emphasized again and again, and I want to emphasize it again today, what we're dealing with is the Word of God. I never want to follow the Word of God or to teach the Word of God in any other way than the way it exactly states itself. In other words, the Word of God is authoritative. I cannot believe the teaching of men. I know that many religions are based entirely upon the teachings of men. The cult groups, of course, are following the teachings of their leaders. Someone has said, if you study the Bible alone, you'll be in darkness. But if you study the Bible through the scriptural teachings, that is, the writings of men, you will be in the light. And this, of course, is entirely false. People come to your door, they knock on your door, they're selling you books. They have three books in one cult and another book in another cult. They have their own ideas, the teachings of men. But the Word of God is the only authority I can absolutely believe. So I want to emphasize this truth again and again. If you wonder, for instance, how can you be sure of your salvation? Come to the Word of God. The Word of God is very clear that Jesus is the only way to heaven. There is no other person, there is no other means, there is no other way that I can follow that is going to take me to heaven except the Lord Jesus Christ. So you may be very religious, but you're unsaved. If you're depending upon your church or the ordinances, the sacraments of your church, or upon other people, you're going to be lost in your sins. You need to come to Jesus alone. And you can do this in a very simple way as you come to Him. Now today, I want to talk with you a little bit from Romans chapter 15, verses 13 to 19. Let me read this passage for you. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that you are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written to you more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I have whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Let me read verse 20. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundations. Now in a few minutes, I want to deal with this whole question. What is Paul's approach in dealing with them? What is Paul's approach, his personal approach in dealing with them? Now, I am a minister of the Word. I have served God for many years, and I'm not saying this with pride. I have a reason for saying this. I've served God for many, many years. I have realized that God has given me a powerful message to preach. But I've also realized that the manner or the way I conduct myself in preaching the Word is vitally important. In other words, I may stand and thunder at people from the pulpit. But if I do not have a heart for the people, if in my heart there is not a love for the people, if I'm not conducting myself in the proper way, if there's not integrity and honesty in the way I conduct myself, and in the way I preach, in fact, the way I use the Word of God, then nothing I say, nothing of my method of preaching is going to be of any value, because the Holy Spirit will not use a person who is out of fellowship with the Lord, who is not conducting himself properly, who lacks the qualities that God wants him to have. The Holy Spirit works through people who are able ministers of the Word of God. And so God has had to warn me again and again throughout these many years of service for Him that the manner of my life is vitally important. Now you will notice, and I'll be referring to these in the next few moments, you will notice in many passages in his epistles, Paul shared with the believers the way he had conducted himself in his relationship with them and the testimony he had sought to maintain before them. You see this, for instance, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. You see this again in 2 Corinthians chapters 1 to 6. You see it again in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. Now you might just note these because I'm only going to barely touch upon these passages of Scripture as I speak to you today. You might just simply note 1 Corinthians 4, 2 Corinthians chapters 1 to 6, and 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. Now, why do I mention these passages? Because Paul is reminding them. He had not only given them a message, the message of the gospel, the message of growth in the Lord Jesus Christ, the message of the Word of God itself, but he had also conducted himself in such a way that he would not take away whatsoever from this message, not in any way from this message he was delivering unto them. And I want to emphasize this truth again and again. Some of these believers in the churches had become very critical of him. This was especially true in this place called Corinth. In the beginning, Corinthians were very spiritual people. The church itself seemed to be a very spiritual church. But within 2 years, they had almost entirely turned against Paul and were bitterly criticizing him. If he started that church in 52 AD, which seems to be the reasonable date, by 54 AD, when he wrote the book of 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians in 55, within 2 or 3 years, they had turned against him. They were bitterly tearing him down and criticizing him. And so this is the reason why, in both 1 and 2 Corinthians, Paul is called upon to defend his manner of work among them. In other words, he had conducted himself in godly ways. He had conducted himself as a servant of the Lord Jesus. He had had a good testimony. It was important that Paul maintain his integrity. Now, this is not a matter of pride, but I want to say to all of us, whether we be preachers or whether we be lay people, our integrity before others is vitally, vitally important. And we have a right to defend our integrity when we're being falsely attacked. Some of you, perhaps, listening to this broadcast have been falsely attacked. It's not wrong to defend your integrity. It's not just pride on your part. Because once you lose your integrity and the record of your integrity and the testimony of your integrity and the example of your integrity, you have lost a great deal in delivering the message of God. Now, we do not find this spirit of criticism against him either among the Romans or the Thessalonians, but God is still directing him to speak of his conduct and manner of approach to them as well. Now, several things I want to note as we look at this passage of Scripture. First of all, Paul is basing his defense of his integrity and purity on the way God chose him to minister the gospel, and how important the blessing and approval of God is to him. So God himself had chosen this man. He was an apostle. He was, I believe, the 12th apostle. There were 11 before him, and I believe he was the one God chose to be that 12th apostle to take the place of Judas. But that's another matter. What I want to say is this. In his position as an apostle, if he once lost his integrity, his testimony of integrity before him, if people could somehow deny it and tear it down, then of course they would no longer listen to him as an apostle or representative of the Lord Jesus. So he first of all points out that God himself has chosen him. He has been chosen by God. He has tried to live a blameless life. He will be judged by God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, he says that he buffets himself, he disciplines himself, lest when he has preached to others, God would put him aside and choose someone else in his place. So his first responsibility was to God himself. And Paul now is able to testify in a number of different places in 1 and 2 Corinthians and Thessalonians, and I believe also here in the book of Romans. Paul is able to testify that I have lived a righteous life before God. Otherwise, God would have laid me aside. Then he also speaks of a number of qualities in his life that he had lived before others. And the idea is this not so? In other words, have I lived in any other way among you than in this thing? Now, even when the Corinthians, for instance, were bitterly criticizing him and tearing him down, Paul could still say to them, is it not true that I have had you in my heart? Now, you are not keeping me in your hearts, in other words, and that's the words I want to get out. You're not keeping me in your hearts, but I do have you in my heart. Is this not true, that I've manifested this to you in many, many different ways, that you are indeed in my heart? If you were to look over into the book of 1 Thessalonians, and you were to look especially at chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians, and I'll let you go through this passage yourself, Paul lists a number of qualities that had been in his life as he ministered among the Thessalonians. There are a number of these qualities. He speaks, for instance, of his absolute honesty before God, the fact that he had always lived in an absolute honest manner. He also speaks of the fact that he had handled the Word of God with them very correctly and very precisely, so that he was never teaching anything that was apart from the Word of God. In verse 7 of 1 Thessalonians 2, he speaks of his loving and his tender and his kind spirit among them. He speaks of himself as being like a nursing mother to them, one who tenderly holds a tiny baby in her arms and cares for that baby and lovingly speaks to that baby and lovingly treats that baby. He said, I was like this to you. And so in this passage, the number of different things that Paul can say concerning himself and the way he had conducted himself among them. Now again, I want to emphasize that this is very, very important as we consider this whole matter of Paul's way of treating them. This whole matter is very, very important to Paul. That he had treated them in an absolutely godly manner. And then as he comes to the Corinthians, going back to that book of Corinthians, again, he speaks of his servant heart. You see this in chapter 4 of 1 Corinthians, where he speaks of himself as a servant and a steward of the mysteries of God. But this word servant is very, very important. What he is saying is, I did not come to you in a proud way. I came to you as a humble servant of God. I served you, in fact. I did not take wages from you, Corinthians, he says in other passages. But I served you in a very humble, in a very degrading way, not degrading in the sense of being sinful, but in a way that I lowered myself and knelt before you, so to speak, to serve you. And again, this is the example of the Lord Jesus. When we see him in John chapter 13, kneeling before his disciples, the Lord God Almighty kneeling before them, set an example for us. Paul indicates this is the way he had also approached the Romans and the Corinthians and the Thessalonians. He approached them as a servant of God. And so this idea of, first of all, being right with God in everything, to have an absolutely clear conscience before God. I have served him with all my heart, Paul can say. I have represented the Lord Jesus. I have absolutely kept my message clear. I have gotten God's approval in my life. And so I've been approved and I've been accepted by God, and God has blessed my ministry. But before you, number two, before you, Corinthians, before you, Romans, before you, Thessalonians, I have also kept an absolutely clear testimony. If there is anyone who can prove otherwise, please let me know. But as far as I know, and I speak from my heart, I have kept an absolutely clear testimony before you. Now I want to say, and I want to emphasize this truth to you again, it's not just the message that we have, but it's the way we conduct ourselves that is important to God. Of course the message is important. Even if we're very gentle in spirit, but we have changed the message, we have absolutely disqualified ourselves from representing the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, we may not even be saved if we're misrepresenting the message that God has given. If we're believing any other thing, following the ways of man or any such thing, or if in studying the Word I distort the message, I'm disqualified. But the second thing is, before others, the way we conduct ourselves is very important. Now it's my prayer as I come to the end of this message that in your lives and in your hearts you may consider these two things and make these two things characteristic of your lives. I absolutely am walking according to truth. I will not deviate from this truth. I am loyal to God. God is approving of me in the way I preach His Word. The manner in which I preach His Word, God approves. And then before others, there's nothing in my life, we need to be able to say, there's nothing in my life which is detracting from the message I am giving from God. In other words, my manner is absolutely in conformity with God's will, so that people are not offended. Now, they may be offended by the Word of God. Sometimes when we preach, even though we preach tenderly and lovingly, and we have a passion for the hearts of people, we have a deep love and tenderness toward them. Nevertheless, they may be offended by the message we give. We cannot help this. We do not compromise the message merely because they might be offended at God Himself. But if they're offended at us, this becomes a sin on our part. So my prayer is, as I close, that you might have the right manner in the way you walk before other people. That you might have the right manner, you might conduct yourselves in ways that are approved by God and acceptable to others as well. May the Lord bless you, each one.